Right, buddy here, Cole Sheldon, to break down the entire UFC Boston card. Should be a pretty good card. Cole, how's it going, man?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm not too bad, dude. Initial thoughts on the card. Looks pretty solid from my vantage point.
Yeah, I like it. Good fights. Big names on it, too. For a big ESPN card, it's a lot better than I think the past big ESPN cards have been. So, should be a good one.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. So, we have a lot to talk about today. Obviously, we're going to break down UFC Boston. We're going to talk UFC Tampa. We're going to talk PFL. We're going to talk a little Bellator. We're going to talk a little ONE Championship. So, we'll be here for an hour. We'll be here till 12 o'clock breaking down a lot of MMA fights. Let's get right into UFC Boston, Cole. I'm going to start with the heavyweight bout here between Tanner Boser and Daniel Spitz. Give me 1 second here. All right. First fight of the night. Heavyweight bout. Tanner Boser versus Daniel Spitz. Tanner Boser opened at 1 sec, actually. Give me 1 second here. I got the odds wrong. Boser. Yeah. Daniel, actually, no, I didn't get it wrong. For some reason, the odds opened. Daniel Spitz minus 225 and Boser plus 190. And right now we have Boser minus 135, Spitz plus 115. So the line's completely flipped. I had to do a double take there for a second. Wow, that line really flipped. Just your thoughts on this fight and who wins the fight, Cole.
I really like Tanner Boser in this fight. He's one of the easily the best Canadian heavyweight, probably maybe the best Canadian prospect, you'd say, because he hasn't made his UFC debut. I'm really high on him. He's been fighting a lot of good promotions, fought an ACB, former unified champion, fought a King of the Cage. He's fought a lot of notable guys. Like, he's fought Rakeem Cleveland, who's in PFL, the late Tim Haig, just a lot of good guys. Daniel Spitz obviously hasn't fought in over a year, hasn't fought since June of last year. The layup kind of scares me. I like Boser's power. I think he can keep this fight on the feet. I think Spitz will try to take it down to the ground. But from what I've seen, Boser has good takedown defense. I think he'll be able to keep it on the feet, either knock out Spitz or win a very easy decision.
Yeah, like I said, just to double take on those odds, I was shocked when I just saw that somehow Spitz actually opened as the favorite there. That is really weird. Now he's a decent underdog, I guess. Not really, plus 115, but still, like, that line flipped completely 180. So I do favor Boser as well, Cole. You know, he's got more experience, 16-5-1 record. He's got over 20 fights. Spitz only has 8 fights, 6-2. Boser, I believe, has fought overall better competition in his career. He's fought over the Canadian regional scene for a while. Now he's been fighting in Russia a little bit. Not really coming with a ton of momentum to the UFC. He's just 1-1-1 over his last 3 fights, so a little surprising. But I do think he's a decent prospect. It's unfortunate his fight in Edmonton got canceled because his opponent, I believe, tested positive for PEDs. This Brazilian dude, Giacomo Lemos. So, unfortunately, he had to wait until now, October, to fight. But I do favor him here at Spitz. Not impressive to me. Got knocked by Walt Harris. Lost to Mark Godfrey. DB Anthony Hamilton. He also has a win over Wesley Cabbage Correa. That's a notable win, I guess. He's fought some, yeah, actually a decent level competition, I think, for the 8 fights. But just haven't been impressed with the guy. Having said that, Cole, he's freaking huge, man. He's 6'7". So, he's a massive dude. He's 5 inches taller than Boser. I'm assuming he has a reach advantage. And he is a little, I think, maybe a little bit underrated going into this fight. They're both the same age as well. He trains at a good camp, Jiu-Jitsu. I want to pick Boser to win. I do think he probably gets a knockout here, Cole. But honestly, I wouldn't bet on this fight because it's a heavyweight fight between two guys with minimal UFC experience. And personally, I'm not too interested in betting on it. So my pick would be Boser, probably by knockout, because Spitz seems to not have a great chin based on what we saw in the last fight. But I just don't like betting on low-level heavyweight fights like this. So I personally pass on it. All right, next up, we have middleweight bout, intriguing fight here between Kevin Holland and Brendan Allen. Kevin Holland opened at minus 230. Brendan Allen opened at plus 170. Right now, we have Kevin Holland minus 165, Brendan Allen plus 145. Who's your pick in this one?
I like Kevin Holland here. I just think the level of competition is huge. He has some good wins. Two losses he has to, or I guess look at his losses. Like, he lost to Rafael Lovato Jr., who's the Bellator champ. He lost to Curtis Millender and Thiago Santos. Then early on in his career, he lost to Ramil Mastapayev. None of those losses are too bad. Like, he's a lot, and a lot of his wins, like lately, Gerald Mischert, that's a good win.
I'll sign you, but he passed on guys like Brendan Lofton, who I think are much more well-rounded fighters. I personally don't think Woodson wrong. I might go there and start Bogdiak, and I'll change my tune on this guy. But from what I saw in the contender series, I wasn't too impressed. So my pick, Kyle Bochniak. I think he wins by decision, maybe stoppage, but, you know, probably decision here. He's kind of a grinder like that. So my pick's Bochniak by decision. Next up, we have a women's flyweight bout between Molly McCann and Deanna Belbita. Opening odds had McCann as a minus 195 favorite, Belbita plus 170. Right now we have McCann minus 450 and Belbita plus 360. Who's your pick in this one, Cole?
I don't even know why this fight got made. I really like Molly McCann in this fight. I think Molly McCann deserves a ranked opponent. Like, she had that really good win over Priscilla Cachoeira, then a really impressive win over Ariane Lipsky. Her only losses in the UFC is only against Jillian Robertson, who we're going to talk about later, who's arguably one of the best prospects the UFC has. She's really impressive. Bella Vita, I know she's on a winning streak, but they share a common opponent in Ariane Lipsky, and she was submitted in the first round. I just think Molly McCann is better everywhere. I think she easily could finish Bella Vita, but we haven't seen McCann finish a lot of fights lately, so I'll pick her by decision to win this fight.
Yeah, just really, really weird matchmaking here. I mean, why did she not get a ranked opponent after the last two wins, especially being Lipsky? I mean, that was so much hype behind her, and she pretty much dominated Lipsky. So in my opinion, this is kind of a weird fight. McCann's been impressive in the UFC, Cole, you know, picking up a couple wins as a dog, and with the Lipsky fight, she was a big underdog. She looked really good in that fight. So she's been better than I expected in the UFC, and I do think she should have a pretty sizable advantage here over Bella Vita, making her UFC debut. Her level of competition. Look at her last four fights, Cole. Look at the opponents. 1-2, 0-0, 0-0, 0-0. That is just ridiculous. Like, I know she's beaten them in impressive fashion, but like, look how bad those records are. She did fight Lipsky in KSW. That's worth noting, but she lost to her. Another fighter she's fought that was in the UFC was Christina Stanciu, and she lost to her too. So anytime she's fought someone decent, she's lost. I don't like the line, though. Minus 450, McCann, that is not a line I'd play, personally. I don't think there's any value in McCann in mine. So I got to pick Bermudez. I'm just higher on Bermudez, and I think he wins. But Charles Rosa, he just traded ATT, Cole. That's a good camp, obviously. And like I said, the UFC experience could help him here, but I just don't like the layoff, man. 2.5 years, that's just too long for me. So my pick is Manny Bermudez. Rosa's good on the ground, though, so I don't know if he's going to get submitted here. I think it probably goes to the decision, but I do expect Manny Bermudez to get his hand raised. All right, let's get to the main card now. It's a pretty solid main card here. Opening up the main card, we have a middleweight bout between Daron Wynn and Darren Stewart. Darren Stewart opened at minus 135. Daron Wynn opened at plus 115. And right now we have very close odds. Daron Wynn minus 115. Darren Stewart minus 105. Who's your pick?
I like Daron Wynn in this fight. I think his wrestling is the factor, but it's such a super close fight. I wouldn't recommend betting on it. It could go either way. Like, Darren Stewart has the experience. He has beat a lot of good guys, beat Devon Lewis, beat Charles Byrd, beat Eric Spicely. Like, his losses, I know he had that 3-fight losing streak, but he has recently he's looked a lot better. But I think Daron Wynn's wrestling is going to be a huge factor in this fight. I think he'll be able to take Stewart down at will. And I think he showed a lot of striking in the Spicely fight. He showed he has a chin. He showed he has some power. I think this is a fight that Wynn should win. But again, it could go either way. Stewart's a tough guy to finish, and I think Wynn will win by decision, but that's not a confident bet. I wouldn't recommend betting it at all.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. This is a super close fight. I think one of the closest fights in the card, personally. I like Daron Wynn. I've been impressed with him for sure. He's looked really good. I've been high on him since I actually saw him in the Tito Ortiz card with Chuck Liddell. He looked good in that fight with Tom Lawler, and he looked great against Eric Spicely. That was one of the best fights of the year. Incredible fight. But here's the problem with this guy, Cole. He's 5'5", man. He's so short. He's the shortest guy by far in the middleweight division. Darren Stewart's a huge dude. He's 6 feet tall. Very strong guy, really good takedown defense, and I think probably the better striker with more knockout power. But, you know, that wrestling, I do think that could be the edge here. And also, I mean, he trains with Daniel Cormier and Cain Velasquez and Habib and all those guys. So he's running a great camp at AKA, Cole. My pick's Daron Wynn to win a decision here, Cole. But, man, he's got a lot of experience, Cole. Look at your experience, man. 4-1 in the UFC, 4 submission wins. The one loss to Myra Bueno Silva, that was a bad loss. She should have won that fight. But the last two wins, Sarah Frode, Ron Gonsato, very impressive. Molly McCann, Emily Whitmire, impressive. Hannah Seifert, she also has a win over. And then some of her other losses are like Barb Honchak. That was an exhibition fight, but still. Cynthia Calvillo and Hannah Goldie. I mean, some good fighters. So she's got a ton of experience. This is it's a tough fight to call, but I got to favor Barbara a little bit just because of the striking advantage. And I think that, like you said, Cole, her grappling's a little bit underrated probably because everyone looks at her striking. But I do think the striking is the key to this fight. I think she'll keep the fight standing. And on the feet, she's the better fighter. Does Robert get finished? That's the question here. I don't know because she hasn't really been finished by strikes except for the Honchak fight. But otherwise, she's been able to, you know, either go to decision or get submitted. So I don't see Barbara getting a submission. So to me, it's like, does she win decision or by knockout? Lean towards a little bit towards a decision here, but should be a good fight, Cole. I'm looking forward to this one. But my pick's going to be Macy Barber to win this fight. Next up, we have a men's lightweight bout between Joe Lauzon and Jonathan Pierce, JSP. Jonathan Pierce opened at minus 155. Joe Lauzon opened at plus 135. Right now, we have JSP minus 140, Joe Lauzon plus 120. Who's your pick?
Yeah, this is a close fight. I this is another guy I don't really think should have been signed off the Contender Series. Like, I don't think Pierce is UFC caliber. Like, he had the stretch where he lost three in a row, and he wasn't fighting that many elite guys. Like, he lost guys that were 1-0, 1-0, 4-2. He's fighting guys in the regional scene that was 10-24, 8-5, 3-1. Like, he wasn't fighting a lot of high-level competition. Joe Lozon is a good fighter, but as of late, he hasn't been. Like, obviously, he's coming off the three straight losses, and some of those losses he should have won. This is more of a fade of Joe Lozon, so I'll pick Jonathan Pierce by decision. Maybe he'll be able to finish Lozon because he's seen Lozon get finished lately, but I wouldn't recommend betting on this fight at all because I wouldn't be surprised if Lozon pulled out a win here either.
Yeah, this is an interesting fight. JSP, I wasn't super impressed either, Cole, but he does have five straight wins. So
never said anything about Dustin Johnson. Like, they never said, oh, we're going to get you on a fight soon, like looking for a fight. I don't know why he likes this guy so much. I don't think he's that good. I think he is overrated. I think Greg Hardy will not come out. Plain and simple, this is going to be another win for Greg Hardy.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Greg Hardy, you know, fans hate him, obviously. Guy is probably not a very nice guy. I don't know him personally, but his past is not very nice. But the guy's a great prospect, Cole. You know, great athlete, only 31 years old, so one of the youngest heavyweights. He's been super impressive in the UFC. Juan Adams, Demetrius Volkov. I love the against Juan Adams. He was like an underdog, I think, or he's like plus 100. He was a super small underdog there, and he still got the win and really easily, actually. I think this is going to be an easy fight for him. Ben Sassoli, I'm with you, man. I don't know what Dana White loves about this guy. It has an eye poke and gets signed. Where will Johnson? Is he not going to get signed? It's kind of weird, right? So I like Hardy. I pick him to win by knockout in the first round. I'm going to check the odds on that because I think that's what's going to happen here. Hardy by knockout. We have it. We only have inside distance -235. I don't think there's value on that. So I don't know. I think Hardy, honestly, at -280, that's like half of what the opening line was. I do think that he's someone worth parlaying because I think he wins this fight pretty easily, Cole. I don't expect it to honestly last more than like a minute. I think he wins really easily. All right, co-main event time. A rematch between Yair Rodriguez and Jeremy Stephens after their no contest last month in Mexico City. And the opening odds had Stevens and Rodriguez as a pick 'em, -110. Right now it's a pick 'em, -110 each. So the books are letting you pick who the favorite's going to be, Cole, after that no contest with the eye poke in the first fight where everyone called Stevens a quitter and Rodriguez celebrated like he won the fight. Who's your pick?
So on the Mexico City card, I picked Rodriguez because it was five rounds. Now that it's three rounds, I like Jeremy Stevens in this fight. I think the later rounds favored Yair Rodriguez, and I think he could outpoint Stevens. Now there's three rounds. I don't think he'll be able to outpoint him at all. He has the power to knock people out. And I just keep on thinking Yair Rodriguez, like, getting picked apart. Even though he beat Chan Sung Jung, he was dominating that fight for a good part of it. Frankie Edgar dominated him using wrestling. I wouldn't be surprised if Stevens went out there and shot for some takedowns, got him on the ground, started ground pounding him. I just like Jeremy Stevens in a three-round fight. He can use more energy. We saw him against Josh Emmett. He can do it in a three-round fight. I really like Stevens in this fight. I don't think he'll be able to stop Yair Rodriguez, but I think he could get a late TKO, but I'll pick Jeremy Stephens here.
Yeah, you know, you make it definitely a good point about the five rounds. I mean, that's something to keep in mind for sure. For me, it's like I really don't want to change my read on the fight too much, even with the 3-5 round difference. I still think Rodriguez is the better fighter, the younger fighter, the more talented guy. But I don't know, that first fight, it definitely made me a little bit more, I guess, worrisome about him. I don't know. I don't like him as much as I did the last time around, Cole. I'll say that. Stevens is a well-respected veteran, tons of power. He's got a lot of motivation now after that last fight. So we'll see. I mean, I'm glad they did the rematch really quick, though. That's for sure. It only, like, less than a month, and they got it booked. My pick's going to be Rodriguez to win decision, but you know what? I'm going to pass on a bet. Just watch this one as a fan because I really think it's going to be a great fight. Hopefully there's no contest this time around. Finally, we got to the main event of the evening, a five-round light heavyweight bout between former UFC middleweight champion Chris Weidman and top prospect Dominic Reyes. Great matchup here. Reyes opened -185. Weidman opened +145. Right now we have Reyes -165. Weidman +145. Who's your pick, man?
This is another fight I could go either way. I don't recommend betting on it, but I like Chris Weidman here a lot. I know it could come as a surprise. Obviously, he's 1-3 in his last four. He hasn't looked that good. But the thing with Reyes, like, he got the step up in competition last time against Volkan Ozdemir. And I don't really know if he won that fight. That was a super close fight. And Ozdemir, I don't think, is that elite level of light heavyweight. Chris Weidman, I think a huge factor in this fight will be his wrestling. I don't think Reyes will be able to stuff those takedowns. Weidman is a really good wrestler. And I think Weidman at 205 will be a lot better. I think he will have some good size. I don't think Reyes is a huge light heavyweight where the size will be a factor against him. I think this is a name that either way, I think the UFC is happy with the outcome, because I think if Weidman wins, they'll give him John Jones. If Reyes wins, this obviously is a huge win for him. But I just like Weidman's wrestling. I like his experience. He's fought a lot of the top guys in the sport, and I think he'll edge out a decision win here.
I like this matchup a lot. The winner, I think, is probably going to have that title shot against John Jones. But I had to guess Weidman. I mean, what can I say with this guy? He's someone I've always liked. The guy who stopped Anderson Silva, the guy who's been impressive as hell. And we all thought he was probably going to be a long-time champion, but, man, the last few years have not been kind to him. 1-4 in his last five, Cole, and all four losses by knockout. I've been fading him. I think I've been perfect in his last four fights or three fights or whatever. I definitely got the Rockhold one wrong. I thought he'd beat Rockhold, but the other guys I thought he'd lose to, and he did. I just don't trust his chin anymore, man. And Reyes is a big hitter. He's a big dude, 6'4", huge reach, undefeated, 11-0, younger guy, 29. I'm with you. The Usman fight was super close. I think I scored for him, but it was super close. The OSP fight, let's be honest, he should have won that fight by third round TKO with the belt. The other fights, he all stopped. I'm not going to overthink this one. I like Reyes in this fight, man. I think he finishes Chris Weidman. I think he gets that title shot, but definitely an interesting fight. I mean, Chris Weidman, tons of experience, and you know, he's a pretty big dude himself, 6'2", 70-inch reach. So, you know what, Cole? Maybe the move up to light heavyweight could be good for him, but I just feel like it's going to be like Rockhold's, where the chin just it doesn't hold up, and I feel like he's going to get caught and finished. So, Dominic Reyes to win by knockout within the five rounds. But overall, a really good card. I'm looking forward to it. Anything else you want to talk about that card before we move on?
No, we can move on now.
Okay, cool. Let's do PFL this week's card. Okay, cool?
Yep.
PFL 2019, week 8. And once again, no odds for this. I'm expecting the day of the fight. Unfortunately, the odds makers are really neglecting PFL, which sucks because that last card was really good. And we'll talk about it in a few minutes, Cole. We'll recap that one quickly. But let's talk about this card. I'll just go through the fights quickly here. Let's start with the water work way up. I'm using Tapology. Okay, Cole?
Yep.
All right. Lance Palmer versus Gadzi Rabadamov in the featherweight division. Any thoughts on this one?
I like Lance Palmer a lot. I think he's going to be a guy that I think I wouldn't be surprised.
Guys, really good resumes. But yeah, I do like Amanov as well. Just, I think, better experience. And man, he's got some good wins, like Schulte as well. He finished him. So that's a good win. And he's fought some really good fighters over the years. Only lost to Alexander Tiger Sinovsky 10 years ago. Next up, Chris Wade against Nate Andrews. Lightweight bout. Who's your pick?
I like Chris Wade here. I think he's been really impressive. He already has a win over Nate Andrews. If you look at who he's lost to, his last two losses are to Anton Schulte, and one of those was a split decision. He's really impressive to me. I think Wade, I think I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Wade Schulte again in the finals, but I think Wade will edge out a decision win here, just like the first fight.
Yeah, that's the only problem with PFL. Just, I mean, I love PFL, but I the way that they do their point system, you see rematches like this that really we don't need to see. But yeah, I do expect Wade to win. Beat him earlier this year, and he should beat him again. Chris Wade by decision. And finally, last lightweight bout, Akhmed Aliyev against Rashid Magomedov. Who's your pick?
This is a close fight. I think either will be eliminated in the semifinals. I don't think either of them have a shot to beat whoever they match up against the semis, but I like Aliyev here. I just think he's a bit better. He only lost to Chris Wade as a win over Carlos Silva. Megan lost to Nate Andrews, who I don't think he'll make it that far. And then he obviously lost to Anton Schulte, but I like Aliyev here.
Yeah, this is a tough one to call. I think the odds will be close. Rashid Magomedov has, in my opinion, better experience, though. Better wins, Gilbert Burns, Bobby Green, Anthony Walker-Martin, Yakovlev. Great wins, man. Really solid. Hasn't looked great in PFL, though, and getting older now. But I think he has a chance to win this fight. We got to see the odds, though. You know, Aliyev probably be favored here, but I think if Rashid Magomedov is a big enough underdog, he could be worth a shot, because I think people are going to probably write him off after losing to Andrews. But you can't forget he was a big favorite against Schulte and Andrews, and he lost those fights, but you know, you can't flip your switch on that quick, in my opinion. All right, so that's it for PFL. Let's recap the last week's cards quickly here. I talked about them yesterday, Cole. I usually do them Monday, so let's go through them like somewhat quickly. I'm going to start with UFC Tampa here. What do you think of the main event? In my opinion, it was an okay fight. I wasn't blown away by the performance of Yuan Rounds, but, you know, three rounds is great. And if Choi wins, you could set up a trilogy fight. So, in my opinion, it's a great fight. Both guys seem to want it. I love it. Nico Price, Cole, most unorthodox striker in the UFC right now?
Most likely. Like, what a knockout that was, the up kick. That was only the second ever in the UFC. Like, that's, you don't see it at all. You see a lot of people use those kicks to try to get up and keep them away from stacking the guard, but you don't really see anyone landing that cleanly. And the sound that made on James Vick's chin, like, I mean, it sucks with James Vick because he was having a lot of success in that fight. He looked good at welterweight and then obviously got caught. I think he needs a lot of time off before he fights again. I don't know if he'll fight again in the UFC. Like, I think that might have been it for him, but Yeah, it was a really good knockout by Nico Price.
Yeah, I'm with you. Sorry about my dogs, guys. They probably see someone walking down the street. You know what, Cole? Second uptick in the UFC ever. The other one was John Fitch against Tiago Alves. So John Fitch and Nico Price have the only upkicks, knockouts in the UFC. James Vick, does he retire?
I don't think he'll retire. I think he'll keep on fighting. I think if he gets caught by the UFC, I think he'll go to Bellator, maybe go to PFL, see what he can do in there, yeah, try to win $1 million.
That's a better spot, I think, for him. I don't think Bellator is going to be too interested in him. I know he's a decent fighter, but I just feel like he's not super marketable. I think PFL is a better spot, and actually, I think he'd be pretty competitive in their next welterweight tournament. That'd be my pick. I think he should take a year off, though. I don't think he should fight for a while because, man, three knockout losses, Cole, in the last 14 months. That is not good. Just going down the card here, Ribas got the win over Dern. Do you think Ribas is a bit of a sleeper at 115?
I think she is. I think her striking was impressive, and I think her grappling aspect, I think a lot of 115ers won't be able to handle her grappling. She's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, and she had success against Dern on the ground, so I think that really shows a lot.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The next two fights were really close to the decisions. Frivola beats Pena, and Anders beats Mearshart. How did you score those two fights?
I had it 29-28 Pena and 29-28 Mearshart, but the Anders Mearshart one, it was either way, could win. Like, if Anders won that fight, which he did, I had no problem with. If Mearshart won, I had no problem with. I thought Pena won that fight, though.
I actually, the same scorecard did you. I gave Pena, I think it was the first and second rounds, and Mearshart, I think the second and third rounds. But yeah, they were both close fights. I'm not going to sit here and argue about them, but, you know, I thought that Pena, I think he, out of the two fights, I thought he was more clearly the winner. He did so much damage, and that second round, in my opinion, probably should have been 10-8. And also, what about that bunky choke attempt he almost had there, Cole? That was crazy, right?
I've never seen that before. I was like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. Next up, Ryan Spann submits Devin Clark. You think Ryan Spann's a sleeper at 205? No one's talking about him as a contender. You think he's going to be a top 10 guy soon?
Yeah, I really like Ryan Spann. I'm really high on him. Comes from a good camp of Florida. So I think he has a lot of skills. He is good on the ground. He has a lot of knockout power. I just think who he's beaten is why he hasn't been considered a contender. Like, he beat Little Nog and Old Little Nog to beat Devin Clark. I think he needs to get a named opponent next to see if he is a top 15 guy, similar to like what Rakic got against Manoa. I think he needs someone like that, like a name and an older guy, to see if he can get that top 10, top 15.
Yep. You know, Spann, when I went to Brazil, Cole, he was on the same plane as me heading down to Rio. I saw him at the Miami airport. Man, this guy, I'm 6'3 and like 250, Cole, and this guy's like literally bigger than me. He is so big for light heavyweight. You think the guy was a heavyweight, so he's a massive dude. And I think he is a really good fighter, Cole, and a nice win streak here. Time for a top 10 opponent. Okay. All right. We got to talk about it. Mike Davis, Thomas Gifford. Was this the worst beatdown in UFC history?
It's up there, I think. This is a shame on the corner, shame on the ref. This fight should have never entered the third round. I think it should have been stopped after the end of the I see people saying it should have got stopped at the end of the first. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, I think Gifford was still in it. He hadn't been knocked down yet. The second round, the third round, he got knocked down a ton. Like, it was not. And the thing is, what I got mad at, everyone's defending Mark Montoya. Like, Anthony Sims on the ESPN desk after defending him. Mark Montoya asked Thomas Gifford at the end of the second round, how do you feel? And he said, horrible. When your fighter says he literally feels horrible, you stop the fight. Like, that's what I get. Everyone says, oh, you lose respect. Like, the fighters lose respect for the coach when they stop the fight. Look at Duke Rufus. He has no problem stopping Anthony Pettis' fights. He has no problem stopping anyone's. He has no problem stopping anyone's fight. And Anthony Pettis is still with Duke Rufus. Anthony Pettis, I've talked to, said, I appreciate Duke Rufus for stopping the fight because as fighters, we don't want to stop and we'll just hurt ourselves even more.
Yeah, I have a lot of problems with this fight. You know, great performance by Mike Davis. I definitely liked him in this one. And he looked great. Guy's a good prospect for sure. And once he moves back down to 145, I think he'll be even more competitive. Gifford's not a UFC caliber guy, Cole. Super tough. Got to give the guy respect. I mean, he's super tough, but too tough for his own good, Cole. And, you know, he's on Twitter comparing him to getting, you know, punched and beaten down to Jesus getting lashed. I mean, I understand the guy's religious, and I you know, I can appreciate that. But, I mean, the guy, he got let down by his corner, his father, and the referee. And just a disgusting job by this referee to let this fight go. Disgusting job by Mark Montoya. And, you know, it's just sad how he's on his Instagram and Twitter defending the decision. And his wife's on there. And they're like, you guys don't fight. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, we watch fights for a living, Cole. I've been doing this since 2011. This is one of the worst fights, first beatdowns I've ever seen in a fight in UFC history. You know, Cole, we've seen deaths in other promotions. Why do people think the UFC is immune to a death? Boxing, there's deaths like all the time. Why do people think there will never be a death? This is the kind of fight where someone will die, not necessarily in the cage, Cole, but in the go to the hospital later and pass away. I mean, honestly, were you worried for his health, like, when you watched this fight?
I think I was, because if you look at that Maxim Dadashev guy, like, it was very similar. Like, he was beat down for round over round over round, which Gifford was, and he was knocked down a ton that fight. And the corner even stopped the fight. The ref said, you can't continue. They did everything right, and he still died. And he didn't even take the full fight. Gifford's corner, I think, let him down. I think that does a lot of damage to his brain. I think that hurt him. Even if you stop the fight at the end of the second, you save him from so much damage. You save him from getting knocked out cold. I wouldn't even be surprised that took years off his life. Like, that was a beatdown. I don't think anyone should feel comfortable watching that. I don't think why his wife or his team options and market him even more. But I think Nemkov, I think Bellator. I think when you get a championship promotion, it hurts your division, because now you lose a Bader fight in Bellator because you have to go defend in Ryzen, and then Ryzen doesn't get their light heavyweight champ to defend probably only once a year. Similar to what's happening in the fanweight division in Bellator, you're only going to get Horiguchi once a year now.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100% on that. Let's go through PFL quickly here, Cole. PFL week 7. Pull it right here. Did you watch the card? It was on TSN. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did.
I thought it was a pretty good card. What did you think?
I thought it was a really good card.
Yeah, it was a really good card. People were sleeping on. Let's go through this card quickly. The two non-title fights. Lofton defeats Waggy. Alex Sakin defeats Ronson. I don't think any surprises there.
Not at all.
Both guys going to the next tournament, I would assume, right?
I think both of them have to. I think Lofton has to be a contender for featherweight. And I was really impressed by Alec Cash in that fight. He looked really good against Ronson.
Yeah, he looked great. The welterweight bouts here. C defeats Cooper. Franca defeats Fialo. Magomed Karamov defeats Curtis. And Michaud beats Howard. I guess the only surprise there would be probably Michaud beating Howard. But otherwise, I think it all went according to the plan. Right, Cole?
Yeah, other than the Cooper City fight, that was so dumb how it ended a draw. And then
what'd you think?
Cooper advanced because of pride rules, which I don't even agree with. I think if you look at the pride rules, C did more damage and he hurt Cooper, which I don't really understand. I think, but I don't. They got to do something. Two rounds doesn't work because he didn't get so many draws.
Yeah, it's a little different. I'm gonna double check Sherlock, but I remember the other day they had it actually called a tie, not a draw, which I thought was interesting. Now it says draw. Okay, I changed it, but it said tie the other day, and I was like, a tie. That's the first time I ever heard that in MMA, but I guess it wouldn't make sense. The two women's bouts here, Pacheco beats Coffin. Harrison defeats really short host opponent, Dalzel. Harrison versus Pacheco in the finals. Do you give Pacheco a better chance this time around than the first time they fought?
I think it'll be Harrison. I wouldn't be surprised if she finishes Pacheco. This whole tournament was made for Kayla Harrison, and I don't even get why they're so invested in her. There's no women's lightweight. Yeah. Look at the UFC struggling to find featherweights. You think you can find lightweights? Like, this whole division was made up of bantamweights like Sarah Coffin moving up two weight classes.
Well, I think in Harrison's case, you know, Ali obviously was a big, big part of PFL, or what, WSOF, and they signed her then, and they've just kind of continued with her as one of their stars. I think she does have star power, Cole, but again, she doesn't fight anyone good. Look at these opponents. She's fighting, like, just really bad opponents, and Pacheco is definitely tough, and I think the fight will be probably a little bit more competitive, but I do expect Harrison to win this fight. Okay, now let's talk about the two tournament bouts, the semifinal bouts in the men's welterweight division. Ray Cooper defeats Chris Curtis. Chris Curtis is the lucky loser and moves up. Okay, so a couple thoughts on this. First off, he retired after the fight to Magomed Karamov, who couldn't fight because he was, I think, concussed and was puking. So he actually won last year's tournament. Now he won't be able to win $1 million. So unfortunate, but I mean, that's what happens in fights. You can get sick and not be able to fight. Curtis advances and gets finished. First off, what did you think about them replacing Magomed Karamov with Curtis? And second off, do you think Chris Curtis is going to retire again? I think this will be the third time he retires.
I don't have any problem with it. And I see everyone complaining, like, oh, this is why you don't do two fights in one night. It's really isn't two fights in one night. It's 25 minutes, a normal championship fight. Like, if Magomed Karamov was concussed and puking after 10 minutes, chances are if you give him three more rounds, he'll probably get knocked out if he's already concussed. Like, ugh. But I have no problem with Chris Curtis moving on. I think that's how they should have done it. Maybe you do a higher seed next year. Like, maybe you do the highest seed advances, but I don't know. I think PFL, I think two fights in a night is kind of weird. I think PFL has to try to figure that out, but I think Curtis probably retires again, though.
The other fight, David Michaud defeats Blanco Franco via majority decision. Great fight. How'd you score the fight?
I had Michaud winning 29-28. I think it was a close fight. I wouldn't have been mad either way who won. it was a super close fight, but I think Cooper probably has the best chance to win the tournament over Michaud, and I think he'll probably be favored in that one.
Yeah, you'd have to assume he's favored just because of the knockout power. But Michaud is not a guy you could sleep on. He's very good, man. Very underrated fighter. Nice win streak right now, Cole. He's won 7 in his last 8, and he actually finishes quite a few of his opponents. So, guy the UFC gave up on, a guy Bellator gave up on, the PFL, he seems to be doing really well. So, good for him. I know you want to talk about one championship, Cole. So
I just want to talk about Demetrius Johnson's fight. Like,
go ahead and talk about it.
That was pure domination, and everyone, like, I think this just keeps on proving he's arguably one of the best in the world. Like, he took down Danny King at a will. He dominated that fight from start to finish. It wasn't even competitive. I don't even know what one does with them, because the problem is they don't have anyone for him to fight. Like, no notable names for him to fight. Like, the only real notable guy in and around his weight class is Bibiano Fernandez, who's his teammate, so he's never going to fight. It's just going to keep on being Demetrius Johnson dominating these guys and winning. He's going to win the flyweight title in his next bout, and he's just going to dominate one and just put on – and it's going to lose interest to North American fans because they don't really know who he is fighting. He doesn't really have a shot to losing.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I don't think anyone's surprised he won this tournament. He was obviously the favorite going in. One of the greatest ever, but, you know, the level of competition in one is it's not great, Cole, to be honest here. A couple other fights in that card, I guess, we're talking about here. Angeli gets the win over Jing Yan Zhang in the rematch with 12 seconds left. Any thoughts on Angela Lee?
Well, this is another thing about one championship's shady moves. It was suplexes are illegal in one championship, and that's how she suplexed Zhang to get it down to the fight, or get the fight down to the ground and submitted her. And then after somehow all of Chatri's posts saying talk about suplexes were randomly deleted over the years, it doesn't make any sense. Chatri in one championship never said anything about it because it sets up a trilogy fight, and Angeli's one of their biggest stars, and you can't have her losing 3 in a row.
Yeah, no, they're, you know what, all respect to one, they're doing their thing, but yeah, there are some stuff that goes on there that just kind of shake your head or kind of raise your eyebrow. A couple other fights there on the card, her brother wins, Christian Lee, and Yushin Okami gets back in the win column there, Cole. There was another card, one championship century too. I know our buddy Tom Taylor, I believe, was at this card, Cole, he was there in Tokyo. The second card had some bigger names on it. Arjun Buller defeats Mauro Cirilli. Arjun Buller wins the decision. I mean, what's the ceiling for this guy, Cole? I mean, he's not that exciting.
Would you be surprised if he fought Brandon Vera, though, for the heavyweight title? I mean,
I guess. I mean,
he's the biggest name probably in the heavyweight division, him and Vera.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, right? But I don't know, Cole. Like, I'm not too impressed by him. I don't know what you think, but
no, I'm not very high on him either.
Giorgio Petrosian, he wins a kickboxing fight here. They also did a mixed card, I guess, with kickboxing Muay Thai. Bibiano Fernandez defeats Kevin Bellingen. Was this the fourth fight between these guys, I think?
Yeah, fourth fight, because they split it, then there was a DQ, and then now that's the fourth one.
Yeah, so Bibiano is just an amazing fighter for sure. Shinya Oak defeats Honorio Bonerio, and in a great fight, Angla Sang defeats Brandon Vera via knockout. How good is this Sang guy?
I think he's very good. I think he's one of the better light heavyweights and middleweights. I think it's very impressive what he does, and he trains with Robbie Lawler and Kamaru Usman every day.
Yeah. Definitely a good fighter. And you know what, Cole? A lot of experience. And a guy that really has been underrated. Like, look at his experience, man. He's been fighting since 2005. He actually fought guys like Costa Philippou and Uriah Hall in Ring of Combat. So he's been around for a long time, Cole. And no one was really talking about him. And now really doing his thing in one. It beats Brandon Vera. Best win of his career, obviously. Brandon Vera, still the heavyweight champ. Their weight divisions are a little weird. That fight was a light heavyweight belt, but it's at 225. So really a cruiserweight bout. But Brandon Vera gets his win streak snapped. And I do expect him to fight Arjun Buller. You said you had a few other things you wanted to talk about before we get out of here, Cole?
No, it was just one, and Demetrius that I want to talk about.
Okay, let me get to some fight announcements quickly before we get out of here. How about this fight, Cole? Get your thoughts on this one. Caitlin Vieira against Irene Aldana. What do you think of this? She's ranked number 3 somehow. She hasn't fought in over 2 years. Her best is Gano. I don't get it.
I got in a big argument with people saying Vieira deserves the title shot over GDR. I'm like, all the wins in the UFC, only one person is still in the UFC. Her last one was Kat Zagano. Well, wasn't it a split? I think it was a split, or it was a really close fight.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think she's that impressive. I don't know why people are so high on her. I don't know why she's ranked high. She hasn't beaten anyone that impressive. Aldana's striking and reach is a huge factor. Like, I think Vieira is going to be favored, and I think there's a lot of value on Aldana as an underdog if that is the case.
Yeah. What about this fight? I love this matchup. Tim Means, the Dirty Bird against Thiago Alves. Any thoughts on that one?
What a fight. That's just going to be a fun fight. That's just like, who knows who's going to win? I'll probably favor Tim Means, but both those guys get knocked out a bunch or get rocked a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if Alves won, but yeah, it's just going to be an entertaining fight.
I'm just seeing this news here. Ali Abdelaziz charged with battery for two separate incidents in Las Vegas. Any thoughts on this?
That's all from the PFL thing when he punched Abe Kawa, and then he did another thing at PFL. Like, PFL just needs to separate him from him, because there's already reports like from different managers saying he gets to pick who his fighters matchmate. Like, he's basically a matchmaker still. Because he all, if you look at it, there's like 50% of PFL's roster are his clients. Like, it's insane. I think PFL needs to kind of come out with something and say, like, we're not affiliated with him. Like, we separated him. He's not allowed at our events anymore. And, like, really, because that was the whole thing with the World Series. Like, it was Ali working as a manager and a promoter there. And it really, like, hindered their, like, what they could do, because a lot of people thought it was just Ali controlling everything.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And one other thing here. Did you see the guy who got OSP's initials tattooed on his ass after he lost the bet on Reddit? What'd you think of that?
Why would anyone actually follow? That's one of those bets you don't follow through with. Like, tattoo is permanent. Like, come on.
It says OSP on his ass. Oh, man, it's bad. Okay, so I think that's it for today. Great podcast, Cole. Thanks for joining me, man. Go ahead, plug anything you want. Go ahead.
Yeah, just Twitter at ColeShell91. I don't have a whole lot this week. Just all my news articles will always be on my Twitter, so just follow there.
Sounds good. You guys can follow me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available as always. MMAoddsbreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Guys, anytime you have questions, send them in. Me and Cole are happy to answer them. I'm happy to answer them on the solo podcast, which I'll be back doing tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. as always. And I actually did one earlier this morning breaking down the latest news in the world of MMA. And in addition to MMAoddsbreaker.com, you can also check me out at BJPenn.com and MMArings.net, where I posted an article today on why UFC needs to book the rematch between Cub Swanson and Dewey Choi. Thanks again for joining us, guys. Really appreciate it. Cole, thanks for joining, man. We'll be back next week breaking down the UFC Singapore card. Until then, guys, have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow morning. Have a good one. Bye.